Pale Blue-Green Planet, Part 2. The Sky. The Earth's blue skies are not the result of the selective absorption of sunlight, but of selective scattering. Here again, the demonstration cooked up by the television production team is rather instructive. On the crisp Monday morning of the 28th of September 2015, a total lunar eclipse was visible from the UK. Every 2.5 years or so, the Sun, Moon and Earth align, such that the Earth, positioned briefly between our star and satellite, casts a shadow across the face of the Moon. It is a beautiful and relatively common sight, and one that delivers a powerful component of the feeling I experienced when I watched a total solar eclipse from Varanasi in India in 2009. Both are a display of moving shadows, cast across the solar system by orbiting balls of rock. And once you have that in your mind, the effect of an eclipse is all the more powerful. During a lunar eclipse, the shadow of our world is visible, and it is lonely and dark against the moon. In Varanasi, by the banks of the Ganges on a dripping tropical July morning, heavy with sweet incense and sweat, a million voices fell silent as the shadow of the moon darkened the magical old guts. In England, thousands of miles, 7 long years and a great spiritual rift away, as I prepared to recount my feelings on a quiet English moor, 2 witches decided to mark the occasion by singing the theme from Walt Disney's Frozen. The Earth's shadow completely covers the moon during a total lunar eclipse, but the moon doesn't fall into absolute darkness. Instead, it glows a dim, deep red. The red illumination of the lunar surface is the result of sunlight being deflected onto the moon by Earth's atmosphere. The moon is normally viewed in direct sunlight. It reflects 12% of the visible spectrum, a little less from the dark basalt seas laid down by ancient volcanic eruptions, and a little more from the brighter anorthosite highlands. Asked to describe moonlight in a single word, you'd probably say white, not too different from sunlight. This is because moon rocks reflect light reasonably democratically at all wavelengths. Bright rainbow in, dimmer rainbow out. There are certainly no reds, greens and blues visible to the naked eye. During an eclipse, the illumination is very different. The Earth's atmosphere acts as a filter, removing most of the solar spectrum other than the red light, which remains to illuminate the maria and highlands. This is why the moon turns red during a lunar eclipse. The same physical process turns the sky red at sunset. As the sun falls, or should we say as the Earth rotates beneath the sun, the sunlight has to travel through an increasing amount of atmosphere on the way to our eyes. The image of the sun reddens, and as the sun approaches the horizon, the sky itself turns from blue to red. To understand what's happening, we need to know how photons of different wavelengths, and therefore energies, interact with the molecules, dust, and water vapor in the Earth's atmosphere. The changing colors of Earth's skies, and the deep red of the lunar surface during an eclipse, are caused by a process known as Rayleigh scattering, named after the British physicist Lord Rayleigh, John William Strutt. The process can be described as the elastic scattering of photons off the oxygen and nitrogen molecules that make up our atmosphere. Picture billiard balls bouncing off each other. This is a good image if the wavelength of the incoming light is significantly larger than the size of the molecules, which is the case for visible light making its way through the air. The wavelengths of visible photons are between 400 and 650 nanometers, and oxygen and nitrogen molecules are over 1,000 times smaller. In modern language, Rayleigh's formula shows that the probability for a photon to scatter is inversely proportional to the 4th power of its wavelength. This means that blue photons, 450 nanometers, are over 3 times more likely to scatter off gas molecules on their way through the atmosphere than longer wavelength red photons, 650 nanometers. When the sun is directly overhead, around 1 in 5 blue photons scatter, whereas only 1 in 20 red photons will be deviated from a straight-line path from the sun into your eye. This is why the sky appears blue, and the sun takes on a yellow tinge. As the sun drops towards the horizon and the photons have to journey through more air, the chance of any photon scattering will increase, and in particular, more of the blue light is scattered away. This is why the skies become increasingly orange and even red in the evening, leaving a fading, deepening disk of red as the sun falls below the horizon. Thanks to the Apollo astronauts, we can see what the sun looks like in a sky with little or no atmosphere. In a photograph taken on the 19th of November 1969 by the team of astronauts on board Apollo 12, the sun is bright white over the ocean of storms, because none of the colors of the rainbow have been scattered away, and the sky is deep black. From Earth's orbit, our atmosphere is rarely visible, although photographs of the limb of the Earth from the International Space Station provide a dramatic view of the thin blue line that separates us from the vacuum of space. The dominant atmospheric features that are visible from space are the bright white clouds. Clouds are white because they're composed of water droplets, which are typically of comparable size to the wavelength of visible light. Rayleigh's calculation does not apply here, and the dominant scattering process is known as Mie scattering, after the German physicist Gustav Mie. Larger particles, such as water droplets, scatter light with a probability that is almost independent of wavelength, and this democratic deflection is the reason why clouds on Earth are bright white.